hadn't been forgotten, I Joe. I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Really?
You're not jamming to this track.
It's not a band. Plus, this is like a jock jam.
Barry's just looking at me like,
this is
really?
Like a jock jam. This is like a country bar thing to play, too.
You would dance to this in a bar, for sure. I mean, in a club, for sure.
I would not.
I think you would.
I would not. Negative.
I think Barry would, for sure.
We used to be friends.
Not anymore.
After this, I cannot hang out with you.
I think the biggest thing that people missed was Nick off air made the statement, I'm going to dominate this next hour.
Never came out of my mouth.
And
don't know what
he blows this song up first.
Well, you got to start. You got to start off strong.
Strong?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Cotton Eye Joe?
I bet you're going to get texts.
The Rednecks?
Yep. What are the chances that one or more of these members are a racist?
Oh. Who knows?
They're actually a Swedish brand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had no idea when I looked it up.
You can tell that was a fake banjo, by the way. Back it up. That was a fake-ass banjo. Somebody said, I had two punch 12s on a single cab truck. I had to drive with my knees on the dash, but it was worth it. I do remember the days of the single cab truck trying to fit the speaker box back there. You'd have to move the seat up. You couldn't allow
like
any big women.
Chevy S10s
you
or
couldn't get any big women in the truck because there was no way they were getting in there with their belly. But that also prevented all your fat friends from getting a ride from you. Now you can get in the back. You can hop in the back, but yeah, that was, I remember that. I had a little
S10. Couldn't get any plus size girls in the truck?
Hell no.
I wouldn't know about
that. The seat all the way up, she'd have to ride the back, for real. That was a tight fit, for sure. Why are you making a face, Joel?
Because Nick and I were talking about this before the show today, and now Jerry Krasnick, another MLB writer, has just come out with clarification that we've been asking for. Dallas Keuchel's been walking around everywhere with a walking boot on. He told TMZ a week ago he heard it during the World Series parade. Now he's been walking around in L.A. with it, so now everybody and their mother is getting involved in this, trying to figure out what happened. And now Jerry Krasnick reports, Keuchel pitched with an undisclosed foot injury during the second half and throughout the postseason. He did not injure himself during the World Series parade, as he told TMZ. So what the hell is it?
Because
no one can say if it's an ankle, it's a foot, it's an Achilles. What is it?
Hopefully it's not an Achilles.
Hopefully it's nothing serious, right? I mean, obviously he was able to pitch the second half of the season with it, but last thing you need is before the season even starts, you got to start worrying about stuff already with injuries.
Right. All right. Don't worry, Nick. I got you on the Cotton Eye Joe track.
Yeah.
As your friendly neighborhood beer salesman, obviously drunk. Justin was talking about a different genre, but Freak on a Leash by Korn. Is that a guilty pleasure song?
I don't know if that's a guilty pleasure.
I wouldn't say
you're
so.
You're not going to get made fun of for like recording. And plus, I love that song. Yeah. I don't know if it's pre-2000. It might be.
Somebody else had a great song, Nick. So we know where
someone
our listeners
else
are
on
drunk.
Twitter, it's Lima time, said, no, 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 no. Cotton Eye Joe is not okay. No, just no. I would second that.
I'm sure the text line is pretty brutal.
So we were talking about Fisher and Sumlin earlier, and we got this text that says, keep in mind, Barry, I love you and the show, and know that your and Joel's critiques aren't race-related, but every caller seems to be someone representing a different demo than myself. What's the over-under that Fisher has less than 3 losses the next 2 years? So I don't think that he will have less than 3 losses in his first or second year. I think that's a great goal, but I wouldn't expect it right away because I don't think that this is a super talented Aggie team right now. The games that I watched, admittedly, I didn't watch every single game, but I watched a lot of Aggie games as I usually do. And I just felt like this was one of the least talented teams that Sumlin has put on the field in a long time. And I think that it'll take Jimbo Fisher a few years to get his guys in to do his thing. So I don't think you can judge him within the first 2 years. Just like it's almost the reverse of what Sumlin did. Sumlin did great, but he did great because he had one thing going for him, and that was Johnny Manziel and Mike Evans. And really, Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel look amazing.
He sure did.
He would just chunk the ball up, and Evans would go get it. At the end of the day, if you really, if that's a Batman and Robin duo, to me, Mike Evans was Batman and Johnny Manziel was Robin. But once those two guys left, I give Jimbo Fisher a four or five years like I would any coach. And if by the fourth or fifth year he's not competing for or has won a national, not a national title, but an SEC championship and is in the running for a national title within year four or five, then I think you have to start thinking, okay, well, you got to earn your money at some point, because that was the expectation.
Suck up 6 years if you.
Yeah, but that was the expectation by the Aggies well, to begin with.
Here's my thing, too, and we talked about this. Look, we can talk about if Kevin Sumlin recruited Johnny Manziel or not, and who recruited who where. What I'm saying is going forward, and that's a tight window to say in the first 2 years, but the bottom line is if he can just keep the recruits going there that have already committed there, and he can get some of his recruits who have already decommitted from Florida State since he's not going to be there, and he can start to recruit the way he has been able to recruit, as we mentioned, with five stars, and really, really fortify every bit of that program in terms of both sides of the football, and he gets the right coaching staff in, which I have no doubt he'll do. 2 years might be a tight window, but I'm not going to write them off in the second and third year when he starts getting his players acclimated that he can't have a three-loss season or less.
Well, he said less than a three-loss season. So yeah. For me, just knowing a little about the culture that I know about Texas A&M, I can see them having less than three losses. That's a two-loss season. I think they could potentially have that expectation the second year in the event that he does okay in the first year. But other than that, I don't see them expecting, and I don't think you can expect them to lose less than three games. Two losses, I mean, that's tough. Well, you're going into a brand new SEC program, you know.
So there, yeah. So this is the Aggies. SEC releases official 2018 schedule for Texas A&M football. This was a while back, but just so we're clear, they played Northwestern State, then Clemson, Louisiana Monroe, and then Bama, Arkansas, Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss, UAB, and LSU. So you look at that team, and he's obviously got to get busy recruiting. You can't overhaul an entire college football roster in one recruiting class.
Correct.
I mean, they probably aren't beating Clemson. They're probably not beating Bama. I'd be surprised if they beat Auburn or LSU. That's four losses.
Yeah, because they're not deep enough to the point where he's going to have to develop some of his talent.
To be considered, all right, you have to lose to Alabama and maybe Auburn every year, but you still got to beat the LSUs and occasionally beat the Auburns of the world. And let's be real. I mean, the athletic director at A&M said, our goal is a national championship. And on occasion, we expect one, but we want to win a couple of SEC titles. So you're going to have to beat Bama to do that. And I don't think Kevin Sumlin was ever going to beat Bama again.
Yeah, you factor Clemson in, that's a big one. Because otherwise, yep.
Bama's a loss.
Other than that, yeah, it's Bama, it's LSU, depending on where the game is played. I just think, you know, if Clemson's not factoring in, I think you can be hovering in that three-loss range. But with Clemson and Alabama and LSU, I mean, I'm not – Kentucky doesn't scare me. I think it's going to take a while for Arkansas to get back on the radar. Ole Miss, who's got all kinds of problems. Guys are bailing left and right now because of probation. Mississippi State's got a new coach. So
yeah, but that's an up or down. I mean, you never know what you're going to get when you get them.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
why I said I can see three – but less than three might be pushing it in the first 2 years.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there. I've got people telling me now that Keuchel told them recently he pitched the second half of the season on the bad foot. It's not an Achilles. It's nothing serious. He was getting shots in his foot to numb it, but he's just letting it heal now to make sure that he's going to be okay. He's using a boot. He should be ready to go for the regular season and training camp and everything else. So.
What's your source?
Let's hope so. I can't reveal my source.
Can't divulge your source?
I cannot divulge my sources, but sources tell me.
Is it online?
Nope.
Text?
I won't tell you this.
You can't say you got a text?
I got a direct message.
Okay. That's all right. All I was asking.
All right.
I wasn't going to probe.
Is this pre-2000?
Absolutely. And if either one of you deny that you guys don't like this.
I love it.
Thank you. Joel?
There's no doubt. Brittany was good stuff. Now, you were poo-pooing on Brittany now when she was sitting courtside at the Lakers game.
Well,
she still looks good.
Her legs still look good. Okay?
Oh, come on, man.
Who, Brittany now?
Yeah. Her legs look okay. But I don't know about her face.
She's been working out, Barry.
Has she?
Yes. All right, check it out. We'll get you the update, the Barry update on Britney after the break, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Final hour of the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, I'm calling BS on this one because you were going to get a ton of points for this one, but I don't think it's a guilty pleasure. I think every dude in this state will tell you they love this song.
Wanted me to push her
breath. It's like the official anthem of Texas.
Yeah, this is not
a guilty pleasure.
No, this is just a good song, good artist.
Okay,
and I'm not even a country fan.
See, that's what I thought.
I think if you were like your point during the break when we were giving you crap,
right?
If you're not a country fan, if you hung out with stoners in high school. And they caught you playing the song, you would get grief for it. Yeah, you would catch a lot of hell.
Okay.
But I think if you're just a dude, ain't nobody judging you on this. I like how you got that head working, though.
You really did. You get your own bobblehead going in there.
It's a good song, though.
No doubt about it. And I went from the time I moved here, and I had never heard it before, but it's catchy right away. Nothing wrong with liking this song.
Mm-mm. No way, Jose. All right, couple more. What do you guys think the Texans can do next year if everyone can stay healthy? Well, I think you have to, one, cross your fingers and hope that Jacksonville doesn't go out and replace Blake Bortles with a competent quarterback. But a healthy Texans team, I think, is a scary team to a lot of people. But you have to make some assumptions. That's the problem. You got to assume J.J. Watt is going to come back healthy. You got to assume that they're going to do something with Brian Cushing or replace him.
Got to improve the offensive line.
You got to assume that Whitney Mercilus is going to come back healthy. You got to assume that, you're going to get some help on the offensive line. There's just
I think they got to make changes in the secondary. Whether you look at Kareem or you look at Jonathan Joseph, they're going to have to, from a money saving standpoint or otherwise, I think they got to look at the secondary too.
There's a lot of questions on this team.
With all the concussions going on.
But like, the biggest thing that you have gives you hope is Deshaun Watson.
No doubt.
Above everything else. When you see what he did with a limited defense and limited weapons and that offensive line, could you imagine if they gave him a little bit of protection? So I think there's hope. I think the ceiling next year for them is
I think the roof is the ceiling. Honestly.
You think the roof is the ceiling?
Thank you, MJ.
I think the target next year is probably a wild card.
Oh, I think it's too early to discount Tennessee. I understand.
Don't
that.
Discount Jacksonville.
And I understand Luck's coming back with Indianapolis. Fine. All those things considered.
Well, they
with
don't
the talent
me. They
that they
help
have.
Everywhere.
Okay, with all the talent that they have, I'm just saying that. And here's the other thing. They got to address the tight end. Because, Nick, to your point about concussions, they used to be deep with tight ends.
Yep.
Now, with Fedorowicz's future way up in the air, and with Watson using a bailout of a tight end, he's going to need a guy. And Anderson's not that guy.
Yeah, and then Braxton Miller, he's like, even when he's healthy, he's not playing that well, but he can't stay healthy. So it's like, what are you going to do with that? Hopkins is basically the only guy that's producing on the
receiver. Will Fuller can't seem to stay healthy.
Yep.
I mean, if we were going to prioritize needs in the offseason, things to fix, is offensive line number one in everybody's mind?
Yeah,
I would agree, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
So then from there, you go two, and what's two?
Secondary.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, is the secondary and the receiving core interchangeable, or would you prioritize the secondary over the receiving core?
I think the receiving core, as long as you got D-Hop to start with, I think the receiving core, you're going to be okay.
Cool.
You know, Ellington showed that you can get a guy off a scrap heap from somebody else's team, and with the right quarterback, he can fit in nicely. He made Will Fuller look a lot better.
True.
You know, we don't know for sure what Miller's going to give you, and you're right, he has to stay healthy. So I'm not going to worry about the receivers as much. But I'm going to worry about contracts, too, because everybody's saying that, Clowney's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in this league.
I don't know about that.
Gruden was all over that in the Texans-Ravens game, and I get that.
Gruden talks with a lot of hype.
Well, regardless, he's going to get paid. Is he going to get paid by somebody else, or is he going to stay?
He's going to get paid. I mean, who knows?
Right, because you don't, like you said, you don't know what you're going to get from JJ, but you're paying him a boatload of money.
See, I was just going to say, JJ, a lot of the money's tied up in JJ. You're probably going to have to pay Clowney, but outside those two, a lot of those contracts are pretty friendly. They can get out of them, right? I mean, look at the CJ Fedoritz contract, that three-year, was it 21?
That's okay, but the Cushing one, Barry, what'd you say, the dead money next year is like five?
I believe so, yeah.
So you're still, to get out of the Cushing deal, you're still talking about a chunk of change.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan Joseph's still getting
actually,
paid well.
Actually, it's nine next year. It's six See? This year. No,
that's
my bad.
Bad.
My bad. I'm looking, yeah, cap hit is six this year, nine. Dead money is three or four this year, 1.2 next year.
Okay, so that's better.
That's not terrible.
No.
Because J. Joe's still getting paid well. So is Kareem Jackson.
Well, J.J. is a free agent after the year. They're not re-signing. Okay, so but this is Jonathan Joseph is gone after this year. But that's why I say you're going to have to get some help in the secondary.
Yep.
So you're going to have to replace him. Kareem Jackson is going to. You're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with him. You better hope that Kevin Johnson can become the guy you drafted him to be, because he hasn't been thus far. He had a decent year, then he got hurt, and he's not played well this year. He's shown some signs, but he's just not played well overall. So you got to address that. You got to address the offensive line. You get some guys in the middle back. Your front seven, half of them are out for the year.
Yeah,
so you're going to get help back
they
there.
They all get healthy.
DJ Reader's playing well. Clowney, you know what you got in him now. So you get Watt back. You get Merciless back. You replace Cushing. Cunningham, I think, has filled in fine for Cushing in his absence.
Yeah, no. And he's young, and he's going to get better. I mean, the biggest thing is you're going to get him back. You say it almost flippantly as quickly. We're going to get Merciless back. We're going to get Watt back. We don't know what we're going to get of J.J.
That's what
Watt.
I was saying early. It's a gamble with J.J. Watt, whether he ever returns to what he was.
Yeah, or even close, or even returns, period. If you look at Chester Pitts and what he said about having the same injury, he said not only was never the same, it was basically the end of his career.
Well, that's why I say I think the expectation for me would be, you know, not, I mean, a wild card. I don't expect this team to win the division next year.
I think they can compete for
a wild card. I don't know.
Okay.
I think you're sleeping on Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville, if they address the quarterback position,
I know how much talent they got defensively and offensively.
They're getting what was the guy they lost first game, first play?
Marquise Lee.
Yeah, they're getting him back. If they just add a quarterback, look out.
No, I know how talented
they could win 12 games next year.
Oof.
Yeah,
I don't know about that, but yeah, you're right. The quarterback is obviously what they need. Right now, I want to tell you before we bop about the good people at American Wheel and Tire. They are my friends, Mike and Tammy Gus. They've been taking care of me for a long time, and it's flat tires, it's rims and tires. I've got custom rims and tires on my vehicles over the last 10, 15 years, all from American Wheel and Tire. They're a true one-stop shop, and you got everything there, from the wheels and the tires, and so much more, like off-road savagery, like lift kits, lights, steps, bumpers, you name it. Kevlar coating, one-of-a-kind division for repair and maintenance of luxury and exotic cars, including performance, exhaust, ECU tunes, and superchargers. They do your everyday maintenance and repair for any and all cars. It's a pristine shop, and anyone goes there because they go there and they stay there. If you go there you'll go there again, whether it's for rims and tires or repairs to your rims and tires or a Kevlar coating or anything for your SUV or your pickup truck. I'm telling you, the who's who in Houston goes there too. But the biggest thing is they're going to save you money. You're going to be comfortable throughout the process. You can ask questions. They're going to communicate with you. And you're never going to be left holding the bag thinking you just paid for a whole lot of things you didn't need. They're honest. They want you to come back. They've been in Houston a long time. So they know that if you're here and they're here, then you might as well go and do all your things that you need done at American Wheel and Tire. Check them out at AmericanWheelandTire.com or go see them in person at 290 and 34th Street. You can see Jason, Johnny, Mike, or Tammy. Any of the people there are going to take great care of you, and tell them Joel Blank sent you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'll give you your last one.
This is really good.
I'm just not a Paula Abdul fan.
I want to sing this right now.
Do you
bite
really?
Your tongue, Joel.
Yeah, you shut your mouth, Joel.
I will not. I will do nothing of the sort. Never was a Paula Abdul fan. The closest one was the one with the cartoon character and Opposites Attract. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's going to start being my answer from now on. I was thinking about that the other day when people asked me, who's your favorite MC of all time, Tupac or Biggie? I'm just going to say MC Cat or MC Scat Cat. Yeah, MC Scat Cat, my favorite MC of all time. Just that'll, and then they'll be like, what the hell? And then they won't ask me anymore. I think that's the new answer. I think we do that. And then just tell them no pun intended.
No pun intended, I was going to say. And then as you're walking off, just yell dilly dilly.
That's yours. That's not mine. I don't do that. I never said dilly dilly.
I won't either because I hate it. But it seems to be a thing.
I have a bone to pick with Finish Line. I'm kind of pissed right now. I demand justice. My wife, I've been begging her, do you have a problem getting ideas for Christmas from Lisa?
Yeah.
I can't get Nora to send me a damn Christmas list. I'm like, just send me a list. Don't make, well, I don't need anything. Well, I don't care. That's, you're going to get something.
Nick, so do you have the same problem with your dog?
What?
Do you have the same problem with your dog? Like, just not getting the suggestions for Christmas?
All right, I hate your face. Back to me.
I hate your face.
Back to me. So I finally get her. She sends me some shoes that she wants. Okay. So I go to Finish Line where the shoes are. And I see on the front that it says $20 off $100 or more. Mm-hmm. Or $20 off of $100, use code GET20. $30 off of $150, use code GET30, whatever. So I add the shoes to my cart. They're $99.99, and I can't use the stupid coupon. And why? They know that that's the case. They're just, you might as well just say, if you don't, I don't know. That just makes me angry.
Well, I found some socks. Wait, Joel suggested
the socks. Yeah, you guys suggested I buy socks, and that just eats into the $20 that I would say.
It does, because the cheapest pair of socks I see on the website
$10.
Is $8. Well, $8.
Then you got to pay tax.
That's true.
So what's the point?
You're still saving $10, and you're getting free socks.
It's just the man keeping me down. That's all it is. It's just a racket. It's a racket. I don't see, they sucker you in. Oh, look how much money I'm gonna save. $99.99. Of course, my wife could have picked something to like $110. That would have made it. But then there you go. You're losing the $10 again. Doesn't make any sense.
The fact that you tipped me off to this is exactly what I was looking for, was to save that extra $20, because the deals that when I got into that fight with Nike and I didn't get the deal that I wanted. I'm going to see if I can. And, of course, I get screwed because they don't have the color that I want.
Oh, you got screwed, did you?
Yeah.
Which deal are you talking about? The one where you're trying to return the 1994 Barclays?
No, where I was trying to buy. Remember they sent me an email and said an extra 25% off?
Oh, yeah.
And then they had click on this for all the items that qualify. And then I found an item. And then So now, of course, they don't have, at Finish Line, they have the shoes. And they're $99.98, by the way.
See? They get you.
But they only have black and gray. They don't have the red that I wanted. So,
well, okay. So this text came in. I'm a black man and definitely not a redneck. I used to teach the Cotton Eye Joe. Way to go, Nick.
Really?
That was from Daryl.
Sweet.
Yep. Nick lost way back Wednesday.
Why?
That was from NASCAR Johnny.
You got to justify it. NASCAR Johnny.
Nick, you're crazy. Brittany's still hot. I did some research at a break. She's still got a banging body, but she has had some work done on her face. She had some work done on her face. It's pretty obvious.
Okay.
She's not the same Britney that she used to be.
Okay.
She looks a bit crazier.
I saw the picture that Nick had said that, and I think she looks pretty good.
Like I said, the body's banging, but her face looks like she's morphing into the Joker.
Okay. That's not a good thing, okay?
I agree with that.
Unless you're into that.
I agree it's not a good thing. I don't have that same perception from the pictures I saw courtside at the Laker game.
I mean, if you're into that, I'm not judging you. or what Trey would say. Not that there's anything wrong with that. All right. Then there was a couple more.
The video that was really good?
Yeah.
I would agree. That's the one where she was on the motorcycle.
And in the airplane?
Yep.
Yeah. And crawling in the sparkly nude suit.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember.
The skin-colored suit.
Indeed, yeah. It was.
This is a different Daryl, one L instead of two, but he said, people say y'all don't read text or just sending stupid bleep, I guess. Today, first time I've ever texted the show and you read four of them on air. Love the show. So, yeah, if you send good stuff, I'm reading it.
Yeah.
If it sucks, I'm not. And everyone seems to like your George Strait.
All right.
Yeah. And then they said, how in the hell is George Strait a guilty pleasure?
See?
Damn you, Nick. Okay. That's Cody.
Right. See?
Well, you had like six of them on your list, Joel.
No, that's not true. Six is an exaggeration.
Well, which one was the worst? It wasn't Prince. There was...
You guys hate Billy Joel, so
Billy,
you can't
see,
rip
Billy
on
Joel,
that.
Yeah, see, Billy Joel is not a guilty pleasure, for sure. No question.
Why not?
I don't think so. I wouldn't classify him as a guilty pleasure.
He sucks, so I kind of would.
Listen, Cotton Eye Joe, what I'm trying to tell you here is that we all, again, we have our own tastes, we have our own perceptions.
Clarence said Nick is jamming today.
All right.
Clarence obviously has CTE. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, how much of the receivers getting hurt can be blamed on Savage not putting the ball in the right spot?
That's true. I mean, you can always improve your receiving core, but if you're going to prioritize it, I guess I would have to agree with O-line. I mean, we all agree with.
D-Hop's taking a beating, and he's still healthy.
It's true.
That's a good point. He, thank God he's having a bounce back year. They gave him the money that he wanted and deserved. But, you know, he had to endure Brock Osweiler. And that gets a reward in itself. But the fact that he's getting, you know, repaid and getting dividends paid by being the one guy Savage seems to be able to deliver the ball to, he's had a great year. That's why I don't think I would focus that much on the receiver position. They have bigger fish to fry, and those needs start with the offensive line.
I'm with you. I think that's the obvious thing.
No question. Hey, can we just let Xavier Suafilo go?
Yeah, did you see that play where he just let that dude just... It looked like he didn't even... Like, was he even standing upright when he let that guy right past him?
Yeah,
like
he just, what did they say? Oh, he really is good in the run game, but he's just not a good pass blocker. No, he just sucks.
My goodness.
You have to admit it that was a bad draft pick. It just didn't work out.
He's so angry. By the way, it was Allen Robinson.
Yes, not Robinson. Marquise Lee's still playing. Yeah, Robinson from Penn State was the Jacksonville guy, right?
Yep. Thank you to Jason.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it as well. Hey, one thing I wanted to get to because we didn't get to it yesterday, but I thought it was extremely funny, and I want to make sure you guys get some humor out of it before anybody else steals our bits. The Memphis Grizzlies have had some problems lately, and we all know that cost David Fizdale, a.k.a. Barry's twin, his job. So he lost his job in the process. Former Rockets interim coach J.B. Bickerstaff took over. A lot of people said the blame should have gone on Marc Gasol because of Marc Gasol getting benched in the fourth quarter of a game. He had issue. He went to ownership. He got David Fizdale fired. Now, whether you believe that or not, the Grizzlies have started to play better basketball, and they finally got a win the other night. And as the case can go sometimes in live television, especially when you're dealing with a local broadcast, not a national broadcast, the sideline reporter immediately after the game was able to get Marc Gasol. And they asked him about getting off the schneid, getting a win, and kind of righting the ship of the Memphis Grizzlies, getting them to the point where they're now winning games and guys are taking ownership. It's a long answer, but hang with me on this one because the ending is absolutely fantastic when he forgets for a brief second that he was actually on television.
Well, first of all, before we get to that, do you believe that the ship is righted?
No, I don't. I don't because if that's the kind of problems you have and having dealt with a guy like J.B. Bickerstaff, you know, I love the guy and he's a basketball mind. As a head coach, I don't think he's able to put his foot down, especially with the veteran locker room. So but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, he and Chandler are tight, though. They're snuggly.
Well, let's hear this.
Okay, so Marc Gasol had this to say after the game the other night.
Well, that's great. Everybody contributing, as you mentioned. You look at the rebounds, really, in the last couple of games when you guys have done well. Everybody's on the boards. Everybody's contributing on the glass. What's changed to get everybody involved?
I don't know. But, you know, I like it. Guys has taken more ownership on their mistakes. And you know, it started to look more like us. Obviously, now we got to put together, you know, more games and more wins. And guys getting used to having a little more confidence with the ball in their hands and get used to playing together. So, you know, overall, we won.
It's got to feel.
He just said bleep it.
He just said F it.
You know, overall, we won.
And the funny thing was, if you watch the whole clip, from the guys in the studio to the guy that did the interview, everybody tries to play it off like it didn't happen. And that's the beauty of the local TV telecast because no one's really paying that close attention. Everybody's trying to get something done for the next thing, next graphic, next package. And everybody just kind of just went, oh, I guess we'll keep rolling from that one because at that point, there's no going back.
I like how they didn't dump it. That was very ESPN 97.5-ish.
Exactly, you know? Right.
Just let it go on the broadcast. Forget it.
Well, that's why I tried to set it up for you, Nick, because a lot of times people have a lot of other things going on and they're not paying attention to what's going on in the interview.
Absolutely.
And those things happen, like when Paulie Shore dropped one.
That was funny, though.
Yeah, that was funny. Paulie Shore dropped one on air. Yeah.
Did
he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did, for sure.
He sure did. He dropped an S-bomb because he did it because for everybody that thought it was Trey. Because right after that, he was like, oh, yeah, can I say that? It's a little late for that. Sorry, dude. My bad, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he dropped one.
I don't remember that, but all right.
Yeah, some other crazy things just to get out of the way. But a guy that I know personally that was a great dude, Steve Clifford, the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. Mm-hmm. Not sure what's going on, but he missed last game, he missed last night's game, and now he's taken an extended leave of absence with no deadline to take care of quote-unquote health issues. Never like to hear things like that. All the best for Steve Clifford because, you know, it's a stressful job, but I just hope he's okay because he's a good dude.
That sucks.
He's a Van Gundy disciple.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Quentin said, this is what Brittany looked like before the changes. That's the thing, Quentin. I'm not opening any pictures from the text line. I hate to disappoint you. And that only lets me know now because Quentin has been adamant about me opening a picture. There's something in this pictures that I don't want to see. I don't know what it is. It's probably somebody's beehole or something. I have no idea. Yeah, it could be her Virginia. I don't know. But there's like, I could just, I'm not that dumb. I know you're trying to get me. Somebody said, can we get some Pimp C coming up? That's not a guilty pleasure. No. I don't think you know how this is working, sir.
Certain people can't follow directions. And by the way, Quentin also had that call the other day.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't prepared.
Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Guilty pleasure?
Good Christmas song.
For a dude? For a dude, yeah, I think so.
It's just a Christmas song.
You say for a dude?
I think so. It's a guilty pleasure for a dude. A female can say she likes that song.
I think it's actually a good Christmas song. I can't stand her or anything about her personally, but I think that's a good song. And she's got a great voice.
I heard my wife told me she had gastric bypass surgery. She's trying to slim up, get back to the old Mariah.
Forget working out and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Just do it with surgery.
I mean, if I could afford it, I'd probably do that too.
Did you hear, like, the deal, the settlement she made with this guy she was only engaged to
Can
for,
you guys
like,
just stop talking?
A month? Taylor Dane?
Just stop talking.
You like Taylor Dane?
This song.
I like that he just goes, can you guys stop talking?
Would you button your shirt back up, please? I don't think it's appropriate that you're showing your chest here.
I'm completely clothed right now, okay, Joel? Stop it. Completely clothed.
You're a Taylor Dane guy, Barry?
This track.
I'm whatever. No, I don't really like the song.
I don't either.
I'm like, eh.
I don't really like this two-on-one business. All right, stop.
No, get used to it. I have.
But I could see where this would be a guilty pleasure song for you.
For what?
For me? No, what are you trying to say?
Because
he was making it.
I could see that this being a guilty pleasure song. It's just not a song that I like.
Okay, cool.
You know, it's all right. Just.
What? See, you're going to be singing it on the way home.
I am now. You
did the, what's the Will Ferrell skit on Saturday Night Live? You did the side head deal.
Yeah, where he smashed the window in the car.
With Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell.
Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah, the
That's
Roxbury
what it was.
Guy. Yep, there you go. All right, we got one segment to go before we turn over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. One more to go of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. We take you up till 4, then Fred, Jong, and AJ will take you home. I don't know. This is a guilty pleasure, Nick.
Yeah, I was thinking about it right before I played it. I'm like, I don't know. Were you made fun of for liking Lionel Richie?
Hell
maybe?
No. Not way. The people I ran with.
He had so many good songs.
Yeah, not the folks I ran with.
I'm still playing it, though.
Like, dude just did. I think, did he play the Toyota Center? He played somewhere here. He probably sold it out.
Yeah.
People, they like, I know girls that will, like, drop everything the minute he comes to town that are in their, like, 30s and 40s going, oh, no, anytime Lionel comes, I'm going.
Yeah. Plus, he still looks like he's in his 40s, and I think he's like 92.
Because he's got a lot of work done, too, though.
Yeah, well.
He looks like he might have more work than Britney.
I'm with Cody. He said Alanis Morissette is my guilty pleasure. Hell yes.
Yeah,
I didn't include any, but I feel like I played her last time we did Guilty Pleasure.
So you didn't want to throw it in?
Yeah, Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I'm not a big Alanis Morissette.
Oh, man. I
told you,
I'll sing every song full blast in the truck.
She wrote the one song about the guy from Full House. The comedian?
I don't know what that is.
The comedian, the
Bob Saget?
No, the is it Danny?
The Joey guy?
Yeah, the no, guy with the lighter
Joey.
Hair.
Danny or
whatever his name is. Yeah, they were dating and
really?
I don't know if isn't it ironic, but the one where she bashes a dude, it's all about him. I forget his name now.
Nah, I don't
it's
know.
It's like Goulier or something like that.
No clue.
All right,
couple more things. Buddy the Trucker said Karma Chameleon, guilty pleasure.
Wow, that's good.
I just don't
right.
like the song, but I can see that being that's kind of like that exactly. other one. I can see that being a guilty pleasure song for some folks. Macy Gray, I Try. I don't know that that's guilty pleasure. Because I like Macy Gray, so maybe that's why it's close call. To me. Okay.
It's a close call.
Borderline?
Yeah.
So I said, I just jumped in. The Pimp C death date was on the 4th. Guilty pleasure song? Any Billy Ocean song? Shoot Me Now. I kind of like Billy Ocean, though.
Caribbean Queen?
Queen? Bohemian Rhapsody? No.
No sorry. Way. No, I thought you were saying Caribbean Queen. For
yeah, yeah. No, no. But I'm saying this. Somebody said Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, Caribbean Queen. A guilty pleasure has to be something you would be embarrassed for people to listen, to see you or hear you listening to. Like if you pulled up at a red light and you had the song on, to me, if you had that jam, if it was all the way up and your windows were down and your boys were in the car next to you, they'd start making fun of you. That's to me,
yeah,
is a guilty pleasure like a, or a song you're supposed to hate, but you don't. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's why I say like Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Nobody's laughing at you for liking that.
Dave Coulier was the guy's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't ironic. It's you ought to know.
Is this true?
What?
Because I know we had some other stuff to get to, but this may just messed up my whole life. Lamont said, "Hello" by Lionel Richie is creepy. That's the that video. He's stalking a blind woman and asking her, "Is it me you're looking for?"
Yeah, the video.
Is that true?
But is that the video? I don't remember the video.
The video is, yeah, there's like, he's trying to like, I think he's trying to get with this blind chick and she's like reading this book with her fingers and.
What?
Yeah, in the
that's
video, yeah.
Braille.
That's true.
Oh, no way.
I don't know if it's that creepy. I mean, back then, that. The culture was different, so that probably wasn't.
Oh, so you could stalk blind people?
I guess you could. He got away with it. Do you know how much money he's made with that song? It's not like they took the video down.
I just think it's ironic that he would, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" and they're blind. That's pretty hilarious.
That's, I thought you guys
that's
knew
cold
this.
Cold-blooded. No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. I saw this article on TMZ, and I'm curious, Joel, how much would you pay for a picture of Tupac's penis?
Zero.
But seriously, how much would you pay for
it? I ain't paying for that.
So his ex-girlfriend is auctioning off a picture.
I'll pay $20.
You love you some Tupac, Nick. I know you do. I think, hey, Joel, you want to go in?
You are the big Tupac.
You want to go in with me and get Nick a Christmas present?
Nick, you want it framed or?
He would actually buy it too. That's the one. No, I do not want that.
Well, I don't know. When you hear how much it's going for, I don't know if he would buy it. But apparently, he used to have this. The article says that he'd have a running joke that when he was hanging out with his boys, he would just pull his junk out and make them look at it.
That's hilarious.
And so on this particular night, Tupac's girlfriend threatened him to snap a photo of it if he didn't cover it up, and he didn't, so she took it. And then the article says, and that's when the D-pic was born. But apparently it's going to auction off at a rock and roll auction house, and they're expecting it to sell for $7,500.
No way.
Would you pay that much to see it?
Even if I had all the money in the world, I don't think I'd do that.
No?
No. I mean, if it was a business transaction, I'd buy it and sell it to someone else.
What does he need to see?
Like, so you're thinking if you could flip it and make $15,000 off of it, you'd pay $7,500 for it?
Like, Joel likes D-Pick, so I'd buy it and then I'd sell it to him because I'd probably mark it up.
Well, I know you just love this every time you cackle like that.
I just think it's funny.
Who did I just see?
That's good stuff.
Someone just, speaking of flipping it, though, someone just bought a house 3 months ago. Maybe it was Adam Levine. This monster place in Hollywood and is flipping it to make like $900,000 in like 3 months. Bought the house and is going to turn around and sell it right away and has put it on the market, reposted it for like a mil more. I mean, I guess if you got that kind of money,
I guess you can
still flip houses, right?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's what it takes. I mean, you have to. You always hear about that stuff where you get an investor and you buy a house, and yeah, you got to have money to make money. That's how that works in real estate. You ain't flipping houses on $100.
Yeah, that's obviously true. Not. But I'm saying, well, of course, we've got people that advertise on this station that'll tell you that if you act now and get there quickly, we can tell you how to be house flippers too.
Apparently,
filling up.
Apparently, we're getting the 4 o'clock drive time folks getting in their car because the text line is filled up with all their guilty pleasures, and I don't have time to read them all.
But Tracy on Twitter says "Mandy" by Barry Manilow. Now, not for me, but my dad was a huge Barry Manilow fan.
Was
like,
he?
You get in my dad's car every now and then, and randomly he'd have the volume way up, and you'd hear a Barry Manilow song. I was like, really, Dad?
See, a lot of you can tell these folks don't listen all the time because there's a lot of the suggestions coming in are post 2000. You guys have to remember that on Wayback Wednesdays, it has to be prior to 2000 or it's not Wayback Wednesday. It's just a Wednesday.
did a lot of the responses start with sports?
No.
No?
No.
Just checking.
You're going to get in trouble.
No, I'm not, because I hear about
it. You're going to get scalded.
I get more crap than a sewer system from AJ anyway, so I don't give a rat's ass.
Okay. Somebody texted the breaking news about Goodell signing the deal.
Yep.
So tough cookies, Jerry Jones.
Exactly.
I think it's if I'm the NFL, I wouldn't have re-signed Roger Goodell.
I wouldn't have either.
The NFL is going to make money no matter who's running it. It's not because of him that they're making money.
But I think it's literally took my exact point. I mean, that was exactly what I was
thinking. I think it's silly to think that he is the reason that they're making money.
That's it. No. Just going to give him more power.
I was shocked. And obviously, the owners believe that he has done something or some things that have allowed them to, you know, make at least as much, if not more money than they would have made otherwise, and they're fans of his. But I just look at his track record and decision making. There is no past presidents used in any decision that he makes. You know, it's always a cluster that is, you know, drawn out in the court system, wasting time and money. And it's never consistent. I just think they could find somebody better.
I'm with you. I think he's a terrible commissioner.
Yeah.
I think he's done a horrible job handling most of the NFL's problems.
Completely agree. All right, so that'll wrap it up for us. That's a way back Wednesday. Nick, way to wrap it up with less than stellar guilty pleasures. But not bad sauce. You went two Lionel Richie?
I did.
Wow.
I wanted to close the show off with some Lionel Richie.
Okay.
This is a good ass song.
I think you're actually giving Barry fodder now, which is not good. But he has ammunition against both of us because we both use it.
Rick said, what about Asia's Heat of the Moment? That's a good one.
That's a good song.
Yeah, Asia for a guilty pleasure, yeah.
Yeah. Any others that you want to get in before we get out?
No, I just, you guys got to tune in sooner next time.
All right, don't forget, one more in the studio tomorrow. Then Friday, we're on our way to Beaumont to Luke's Ice House. If you want to join us live and in person in the 409, you can catch us at Luke's from 1 to 4. Otherwise, we'll have a good show again tomorrow. Sarah Barshop will join us to talk a little Texans. And, of course, you guys are always the star of the show if you want to participate as well. So, for Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's coming up next. It's The Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.